The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42 and verse 46. Continue to remain standing in honor of the reading of God's Word. We invite you watching in, wherever you are, to join us in standing and honor the Word of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. Verse 46, day by day continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Jerusalem church. We thank you for the essential things that we see in the Jerusalem church. And Lord, we do pray today that what we desire and long to be would be a reproduction of those very essentials, that we might be your church to your honor, to the praise of the glory of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. We have seen in this series so far that the first church was the assembly of those who were saved, verses 38 through 40 of Acts chapter 2. We have seen that the church was identified as Trinitarian worshipers, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by water baptism, by triune immersion. Verse 41, we have seen that this church was devoted to the apostles' teaching, the doctrine, the teaching of the apostles, verses 42 and 43. We've seen that this church was devoted to the fellowship, this saved assembly of one another. They longed and desired to be together, and we looked at that the last time. Today, we see that the Jerusalem church was devoted to the breaking of the bread in verse 42. The breaking of the bread. And this morning we're going to try to ask and answer 8 questions, probably some others along the way as well, but 8 questions about their devotion to the breaking of the bread. So we're starting in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And the first question, what was the breaking of the bread? What was that? It is, in verse 42, very specific. The definite article for us, that's the word "the," is here in this phrase in verse 42. To the breaking of the bread. This isn't just a devotion to bread breaking. It's a devotion to something very specific. The breaking of the bread. That's just what your Bible says. Okay? So what was this? It was something very specific. It's called here the breaking of the bread. That's a term. The breaking of the bread. Elsewhere, it's called the Lord's Supper. Or the agape, which is the love feast. The breaking of the bread. The Lord's Supper. The love feast. 1 Corinthians 11:20 calls it the Lord's Supper. And we'll get to that passage later. It's the Lord's Supper because Jesus, the Lord, anticipated it. He did it. He instituted it and commanded it to be done. And he longs even now to be present in it with us when we share it. It's the Lord's Supper. So that's what we're talking about here in Acts 2:42. The breaking of the bread. Question number two. How did these new believers on the day after Pentecost, they'd only been saved for a day. The next day, they'd only been saved for 2 days or 3 days. The next, you know, these are brand new believers. How did these new believers know about this? They can't be devoted to it if they don't know about it, right? How did they know about this? Well, in verse 42, it's pretty clear they knew about it from the apostles' teaching. Part of the apostles' teaching, and we looked last time about the apostles' teaching about love, do you know? Jesus gave that teaching about love that the apostles would have taught. It's in John chapter 13. He gave that teaching at this same meal. So it's pretty evident that the apostles were remembering the last Passover Seder that they celebrated with Jesus, which by the time of Acts chapter 2 would have only been 53 days ago. Only 53 days ago would have been the Passover Seder where Jesus instituted this as his supper. And they're remembering that. Now, I've listed all the passages in the Gospels for you. We're not going to look at all of them today, but just one of them. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. And here's one of the accounts. We'll look at the John passage a little later. But Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 14. This is Thursday night, the Passover Seder meal. When the hour had come, he, Jesus, reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So Jesus had anticipated this. He desired it. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So Jesus said he will not eat a Passover Seder until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Passover will be fulfilled by the coming kingdom, which Jesus will bring at his second coming. It'll be fulfilled then, and Jesus will eat. But will Passover be celebrated in the millennial kingdom? Yes. And Jesus is looking forward to that as well. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Now, there were, and some of you have experienced this because I've tried to do it. We've done it almost every year now for years at Passover time. So you're aware in the Passover Seder, there are four cups. Four. The cup that Jesus is speaking about here in Luke is not the third cup. Both Matthew and Mark talk about the third cup. The third cup is the cup that Jesus said was the blood. But this cup is the cup of the coming kingdom. It's a different cup. And verse 19, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Or probably better, in remembrance for me. That's the bread. Verse 20, and in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten. Now this is the third cup, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Well, there is the bread. There is the cup. The third cup of the Passover meal. Jesus gave this as a commanded memorial. He said, do this in remembrance of me. There's no discussion in Luke or in any of the passages, or for that matter, anywhere in the Bible, about things that have come to be termed transubstantiation and consubstantiation, or even real presence views. Transubstantiation is the idea that the bread and the cup are somehow mystically changed into, the bread is mystically changed into the body of Christ. You don't see any of that in this or in the Bible anywhere. Or that the cup is mystically changed into the blood of Jesus. No. No discussion of that here. Consubstantiation is the idea that the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus are somehow in or with the bread and the cup. You don't see any discussion of that here. The real presence view is that somehow the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus are really there in the bread and in the cup. Okay. All you hear Jesus say is what? This is a memorial. This is a memorial. Do this in remembrance of me. He's not giving anybody any mystical powers to change bread or wine into anything. He says, do it in remembrance of me. But he does say to do it. So how did these new believers in Acts 2:42 know to be devoted to this? Well, they heard the apostles talking about this, and they realized they were supposed to begin to do it. And by the way, we've done the Passover Seder every year because experiencing that is foundational to understanding what the breaking of the bread is or what the Lord's Supper is. It's foundational. And so we've done it as a teaching tool, and I hope you've experienced that and enjoyed that. Question number 3. Why were these new believers devoted to this? And remember, we've talked about the word devoted, devoting themselves. It's adhering to strongly or persisting with strong attention. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. They were devoted to it very strongly. Very strongly. Now, why were they devoted to this so strongly? Why did they pay such careful attention to it? Well, it was included in the apostles' teaching, and it's also included in their devotion to the fellowship, which is also in verse 42. To the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. And remember, I alluded the last time, and we'll take a moment to look at it this morning. The fellowship, the body of Christ now, is created. It was created on the day of Pentecost by the Holy Spirit. Actually, by Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Creating the body of Christ. This was from the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:5, Jesus had told the apostles, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, which is what occurred on the day of Pentecost. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized, this is every believer, the word all, baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Jesus baptizing the believer with the Holy Spirit is what 1 Corinthians 12:13 says makes the believer part of the body of Christ. Okay, so they're part of the body of Christ. They've all been baptized with the Holy Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit. They have the teaching of the apostles. They are devoted to Jesus, to the Word, and to each other. We've already covered this. They're devoted to Jesus, the Word, and each other. So why would they want to be devoted to the breaking of the bread? Because it is the Lord's Supper. Jesus is at the meal. Jesus says, and this is to believers, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That is the door of the church. It's not the door of anybody's heart. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in alongside of him and eat with him, and he with me. Is Jesus really present in the Lord's Supper? And the answer is yes. He is present because he is in every believer. He's not present because he's in the bread. He's not present because he's in the wine. He's present because he's in you. And it's his supper, and it's all about him. So, of course, they were devoted to it because they love their Savior. Even though they've only known him as their Savior for a day. They love their Savior. Of course they're devoted to this. Question number 4. Did the breaking of the bread involve a meal? Well, Acts 2:46 makes it very clear that it did. Breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together. Yes, it was the Lord's Supper or love feast. That's what it was. Just eating a piece of bread or drinking a cup of wine, that is not the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a supper. It's a meal. It's the love feast. Now we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And the Apostle Paul is talking about some people that were misusing and abusing the Lord's Supper. But we can learn some things as we go through it. 1 Corinthians 11:20. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses in which to eat and drink, or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. It's very clear, this is a meal. The Lord's Supper, let me say it again. The meal is an element. By the way, you'll notice I've been tending to avoid using the word communion. Now, why? Because that is not the word that the Bible uses. The Bible doesn't call this event communion. The Bible calls it the Lord's Supper. It calls it the breaking of the bread. So, the meal, the eating of the meal, we could say it this way, is as much a necessary communion element as the bread and the cup. It is. It was the Lord's Supper. Now, in the context of that meal, 1 Corinthians 11:23, we do see the bread and the cup. For I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, a memorial. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." That is, with unconfessed sin. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Okay, if there's a problem, don't stay away from the love feast. Do what? Get it right, so that you can then eat and drink and share. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. That is, his relationships with one another. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. There can be a danger in not having right relationships in the body and participating in the Lord's Supper at the same time. There can be a danger in that. Can there be sickness that results? Yes, there can even be death that results from this. Now, the flip of that is also true. When you do it rightly, can there be healing? Sure. Restoration? Sure. So, this has value. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come. The meal is an element. Without the meal, just the bread and just the cup are not the Lord's Supper. Without the meal, just the bread and just the cup are not the breaking of the bread. To put it in popular terms, without the meal, just the bread and just the cup are not communion. Okay? We're just following what's here. Question number 5. Did it include the washing of one another's feet? And the answer to that also is yes, it did. John chapter 13, verses 2 through 17. And this is one of the four passages in the Gospels that talks about what's happening at the Passover Seder. John chapter 13, verse 2. Notice it says, during supper. During the Seder. During what became the love feast. During the meal. The devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand, fully understand, hereafter, later. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, Peter, if I do not wash you, you are having, that's a present tense verb, you are presently, right now, not having a part with me. The word part, meros, it means participation or sharing. This wasn't Jesus saying to Peter, you don't want to have anything to do with me, or I won't have anything to do with you. This was Jesus saying to Peter, if you don't get your feet washed by me, you are not presently sharing, participating, we might say communing, in what I'm doing. This is part of it. So Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you, that's plural, are clean, but not all of you, for he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, not all of you are clean. So 11 of them were saved. One of them wasn't, and that was Judas Iscariot. He was not clean, but the rest were. For this reason, he knew the one who was betraying him, he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" Or that could be a command. Be knowing what I've done to you. And what he's done is a physical act. I've done this. I've washed your feet. Verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. Since I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example, a sign, a figure, that you should also do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. Since you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." There's a command for believers to wash one another's feet. The command is part of the breaking of the bread. It's part of the supper. The command to wash one another's feet involves great happiness. You know, Jesus, you say, well, Jesus said we have to do this weird, awkward thing. No, Jesus said you have to do something that makes you very, very, very happy. You're blessed if you do it. You're happy if you do it. Feet washing ought to be one of the most happy, joyful times any believer ever experiences. Why? Jesus said so. So, did it include washing one another's feet? Well, yes, it included it when Jesus instituted it and Jesus commanded it. That means the water and the towel, washing of, those are elements of the Lord's Supper. We could say it this way: washing one another's feet is just as much a communion element as eating bread and drinking the cup and eating the whole meal. Those are all essential elements of this. So of course it included feet washing. To say that it didn't would be to be denying everything that Jesus did with his apostles the night before he died. And Jesus commanded it. Question number 6. How often did they do it? Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Day by day. How often did they do it? Daily. Every day. Say, wow. Now, eventually, by Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we see that they were doing it on the first day of the week, which in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, was actually Saturday night. You realize the Jewish day begins at sundown. So, the early church often had what you call the Sunday morning church service. They often had it on Saturday night. Because that was the first day of the week. And they were together and they were breaking the bread together. They were having this experience, but they were doing it on a weekly basis by then. And we saw in 1 Corinthians 11:26, there is no regulated frequency in the New Testament for how often you are to share the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11:26 just says, for as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup. Say, well, how often is that? Well, it's however often is often. It's not regulated. Say, well, we have to have it at least this many times a year. We have to have it this much. Well, there's nothing in the Bible that says this. If you want to start with the early church pattern, it is every day. Every day. Question number 7. Where did they do it? They did it, Acts 2:46, from house to house. They did it from house to house. They didn't do it with 3,000 people in the temple. They did it in individual homes. From house to house, in smaller groups. Say, well, when did all 3,000 of them ever do it together? We see no example of that. They did it from house to house. Question number 8. Who administrated it? Again, in Acts 2:46, you see they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. House to house, breaking bread. Who was doing it? They all were doing it, and they all were sharing in it, and there were no officiants. Nobody was officiating their communion service. You know, there's nothing anywhere in the New Testament that says, well, only these people are permitted to, quote, serve communion, unquote. In fact, you won't even see serving communion in your Bible. It's not there. Say, well, who served it? Nobody served it. They all shared it. They did it together. The apostles didn't lead it. Peter didn't have a bunch of people over at his house. Do you know why? Peter's house was in Capernaum. Peter didn't even live there in Jerusalem. The apostles weren't leading it. The elders weren't leading it. Why? There weren't any elders yet. The deacons weren't leading it. Why? There weren't any deacons yet. Say, well, they must have formed an ordinance committee to be in charge of it. You don't see that here. What do you see? The people did it. They shared it from house to house. Nobody administered it. Nobody served it. Nobody had any special power to do anything to the food or the meal or anything, or even to organize it. They just did it. Now, we have a time coming up fairly soon, June 27th, where there will be the opportunity for the whole church to join together in the Love Feast. To do this, that time together, June 27th, we've come to call it in the summertime our summer carry-in communion. We encourage you to be there. Believers should be there. We are to perpetuate this. But do you know, and I've said this many times, say, but do I have to wait until June 27th? We only do that as a whole church a few times a year. Do I have to wait for those times? Well, the early church did it every day. Say, well, how's that? Do we have to come here to this building and does somebody have to set it up and we do it every day? No, do it at your house. Say, well, who's going to set it up? You are. And do it. We encourage ABFs and smaller groups to do it and do it often. We encourage you to do it from house to house. You don't have to say, well, I wish somebody would come and show up and give me communion. No, have it at your house. Do it. invite brothers and sisters in Christ to share in it. If you are saved, it's your meal. It's your meal. Yeah, really, it's the Lord's meal. It's the Lord's supper. But you're in Him and you share in Him, so it's rightfully yours. It's not the meal of the elders. It's the meal of believers who share in Christ. If you're not yet saved, you know what? It's not yet your meal. And participating in it won't help get you saved. It won't. It's not your meal. But if you will believe on Jesus for your salvation, for eternal life, then it is your meal. And you can share in it and share the benefits of it. This is not something that's perpetuated by rules or by leadership. This is perpetuated by love, by obedience, by desire for the things of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take of this and that your church